Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And we're broadcasting this week from the Hey, Wait a Minute department here at Car Talk Plaza.
As I'm sure you know, we have offered free bumper stickers to listeners of ours who happen to agree with our position on using cell phones while driving.
Yeah. I mean, the bumper sticker says, drive now, talk later. And we've given away like tens of thousands of these things.
Well, we got a letter from someone who wants us to stop doing that.
Oh, an industry lobbyist?
No.
A cell phone manufacturer?
No.
A Chinese food takeout association?
No. It was from a listener named Caroline. And here's what she wrote to us. Dear Tom and Ray, you keep pushing those hang up and drive bumper stickers. I think they are sending the wrong message. I want to propose an alternative. And here's her alternative.
This is all for a bumper sticker.
Bumper sticker. Please multitask. My mom needs a kidney. Signed, Caroline.
She's nuts, too. So I'm going to deal with her and you this week. Okay, well, look, if you have a question about your car or your kidney, give us a call. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. You're on Car Talk.
Hi, gentlemen. This is Heidi from Lacey, Washington.
Hi, Heidi.
Heidi from L-A-C-E-Y?
L-A-C-E-Y. It's about 50 miles south of Seattle.
Okay, we're with you.
I've got a 95 Toyota 4Runner. Got quite a few miles on it, and I'm trying to sell it. I'm a single mother going to school, and I've got to get rid of this truck. Well, it's got an interesting noise coming out of the rear end. When I start to accelerate, it makes an interesting clink, clank, clink kind of noise.
When you first start off from a dead stop?
Uh-huh. And when I also come to a stop, it makes that clink, clank, clink, clink noise.
Well, that's bad.
But it also has a sugar kind of a noise that goes along the speed of the car. And it kind of sounds like a train underneath the car.
So it speeds up and it slows down.
So if you slow down from 60 to 30, the frequency of this thing, which is very regular, slows down to half.
Exactly.
Do you notice any vibration at high speed? Or do you dare to drive at high speed? Or maybe has the vibration been there so long that you're not aware of it?
I might not notice it.
And if you're getting rid of this vehicle, why do you care what the noise is?
Well, I already marked it down $1,000 from Blue Book, and I'm just wondering if I should leave it there.
Oh, or is it something terrible?
Or do I have to fix it before I sell it?
Yeah. Okay, that's good.
So you don't have a regular person to whom you take it who would give you some...
Not at all, no.
Not at all. Maybe that's why it's in such bad shape. I mean, the first thing that comes to mind is that it's a universal joint. Yeah. Clink, 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 clink. And what's the other noise again?
It's like a kind of a whirring or like a sugar.
Yeah,
like
sugar.
Could it be described as a kind of a squeaking noise? Like, maybe not quite as.
Don't let him talk you into it.
No, the power of suggestion is very strong here. Heidi, you are falling into a deep sleep. Could it be more like a gentle croaking as opposed to a shh?
You're just determined to make it into
a universal joint. Well, I am, because I have no ready alternative.
It's not a universal joint.
Well,
because it's the wrong sound.
Well, the tinka 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 is the right sound for a U joint. I mean, if when those needles.
I never heard her say tinka tinka. Yeah. I heard you say tinka tinka.
No. Heidi, say Heidi.
Yes.
Have we met before?
No, sir.
Did you not say that one of the noise you get is like a tinka, tinka, tinka noise?
It's a kind of a clink, clank when I start out.
Clink, clank.
Mm-hmm.
Clink, clank, which is the classic noise you get from a universal joint whose roller bearings are worn out. And then if the joint is dried up and rusted, you can get a...
I do kind of get a creaking. Yeah.
Aha! Aha!
I do. But I was more concerned about the train sounds underneath the car.
Yeah.
Well, I think the train sound could all be coming from, and the vehicle is the right age to have a seized or worn out or both universal joint.
Yeah. Okay.
And it's something that your mechanic will be able to figure out in 3 minutes.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, and if you're discounted at $1,000 for this... You ought to go and get this fixed, because for a couple of $100 you can get this fixed. And if the thing sounds great, You can jack that price way back up.
Hey.
Yeah. So what are you asking for this thing, in case we have anyone out there who's interested?
I'm asking $35.
$35. That's the discounted price.
That's the discounted price.
So yeah. When you fix this huge one, you're going to get it back up to, you know, $47.
Yeah.
I think I'll maybe go like four and see what happens.
All right. Yeah. Well, good. I have a strong feeling that that's what it is, but
I have to say, I agree with you.
Be ready. You may get a call from the Stump the Chumps people.
No problem.
All right. See you, Heidi.
Thank you.
Bye.
Good luck.
Oh, God. 888 Car Talk.
I think it is a huge
one. Oh, sure. 888.
I was just giving you a hard time.
Sure. 888 Car Talk. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Yes, hello. This is Frank from New Boston, New Hampshire. I need your help.
Hey, Frank. What's going on?
Well, I have a 2003 Subaru Forester with 121,000 miles on it.
Good for you.
Yeah, I love my car.
Yeah.
The driver's side window, when I put it down, if I put it down all the way, it makes a slight clunking sound at the bottom. But then when I put it back up at the very top, it sounds like the glass is going to break. It's like metal slamming into glass.
Mm.
If I don't put it down all the way, it doesn't do it.
Yeah, but if you don't put it down all the way, then you can't rest your arm on the window.
That's the problem. And I really want to do this myself instead of paying, you know, $90 or $100 an hour to have a mechanic do it.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but
well, how willing are you to take things apart that you may never be able to get back together again?
Well, you see, that's what my wife said.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's a good question, don't you think?
Are you handy?
I'm fairly handy, yes.
Give us an example of the most complex thing you've done. It doesn't have to be on a car. But, you know, around the house. For example, have you ever built, like, a homemade nuclear reactor?
No, but I have replaced a water pump in a 74 Oldsmobile.
Okay. How many weeks did that take?
That took me about 4 hours.
4 hours.
And that's about what it takes us.
That's not bad.
So you consider yourself, so you have tools.
I do.
And you consider yourself handy. And do you have a book on this car?
I don't.
You don't.
You
don't. Well, that might be a good thing to start off with.
Alternatively, you could go to your local repair shop and ask them if they were for if you here's what you do: you buy a dozen donuts.
Okay.
You buy a dozen donuts, and you when you take the dozen donuts to your local repair shop and say, guys, would you do me a favor? Would you look up on AllData or Mitchell's or whatever you guys have, and find out how I replace the window regulator? Because that's what you need.
I need a window regulator.
Yes, yeah. You do. Now, it may turn out that on this car, you have to buy it with the motor. I don't know.
Okay.
So what's wrong is inside the door. You know, so if you can find out, get a printout about how to do this, you can go ahead and replace it. And if they say to you, oh, yeah, no, we replace these all the time. We'll do it for you for $100. Give them the keys.
Yeah, I mean, if you can figure out how to take the inside door off, that might be all you have to do, because
okay.
Then everything will be right there looking at you, and it might be obvious.
Yeah, it's possible that a bolt has come loose or something.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I was hoping, is it wouldn't be costly.
Yeah, well, if you can take the inside of the door off, you can watch the thing go up and down.
Right.
And it might be immediately apparent what's going on. If not, take the other door off, and you'll see what the difference is, and you'll know what's gone.
Right. When he means the door, it doesn't mean the door. It means the inside door panel.
Right.
So, right, Tommy's right. You could take both doors apart. And by the way, when you take them off, just throw them away, because you're never going to put them back
on. You're never going to get them back on.
No, you buy a roll of wallpaper, you know,
No, it's not that bad.
You buy a roll of contact paper.
No.
Right, at the craft store. You buy a roll of contact paper at the craft store, and you're going to cover that. Get some nice paisley stuff. Because just throw you don't need those inner handles. All that stuff is all, you know, unnecessary.
It is unnecessary. But you can always reach through and open the door from the outside. If
right.
The window goes down.
Right. You can't do that if you can't put the window down. Anyway.
Come on. He called with a perfectly legitimate question.
And
making it fun.
In our own perverse way. We are trying to help Frank, and what we're trying to help him by persuading him not to do it. We're trying to help him.
So I should take my wife's advice and go to the mechanic.
You should, but not before you monkey around
a little bit.
After all.
How are you going to learn?
After all, if Magellan's wife had said to him, Ferdy, Don't go. You're never going to make it all the way.
You can't make it.
Because he didn't make it all the way.
No, he didn't.
No, but the rest of the guys on the ship did. But, you know, so you need men need adventure in their lives.
Exactly. And it's got 121,000. Why shouldn't I mess
with it? Why shouldn't you mess with it
see,
now?
See, I don't think women understand that. I don't mean that in a bad way. But guys need to do stupid stuff from time to time.
Exactly.
And you're embarked on a project right now, Frank, that could be in that category.
Hey, Frank, I wish you the very, very best. Please call us and let us know how you make
it. How many pieces they have over left over. And by the way, you heard it here first.
I will email you pictures.
All right. Excellent.
Good
That'll
luck.
Be great.
Thank you.
Frank. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Sarah from Morgantown, West Virginia.
Is there an H at the end?
Yes, there is.
Okay. From where?
Morgantown, West Virginia.
Okay, we got you.
Okay.
Never heard of Morgantown, West Virginia, but I'm sure lots of other people have.
It's a lovely town and home of the Mountaineers. That's where the state university is.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. So what's going on, Sarah?
Well, I have a 1999 Camry, and I took it this summer to Oklahoma to visit a friend. And as we were driving around the incredibly, ridiculously hot highways of Oklahoma, he kept insisting that my car was running too hot, even though the heat gauge showed that it was just about in the middle or maybe a little above.
Yeah.
He said the problem was that I didn't have a summer thermostat, and I'd never heard of one, so he took me to a parts store and showed me that they existed because I thought maybe he was making that up.
Yeah.
So I drove the car back to West Virginia and asked my mechanic, and he said, oh, summer thermostats are a thing of the past. You don't need one on this car. That's something you would need if you were driving around in some big old American sedan. Don't worry about it.
Tell us about this guy. Who is he?
Give us an age. Is this from between 0 and 50?
No. My friend's in his 60s.
Okay.
And is an expert at picking up old cars and then driving them.
I was going to say picking up young girls, but maybe that too.
Yeah, well, he's living in the past.
Oh, he's going to be so brokenhearted that you said that.
You can certainly put a lower temperature thermostat in there, but that's not what it was designed to have.
No.
And if it's 120 degrees out, low temperature thermostat notwithstanding, you are going to overheat. That all it's going to do is maybe delay it for a few minutes.
Do you have any idea what it was that gave him this thought?
Yes, as we were driving, because he had driven with me in this car in West Virginia, too, he felt we didn't have the same amount of pickup that we had, even though the roads were flat there, and they're never flat here.
And he was attributing not having enough pickup with having the wrong thermostat?
Sure, the engine was running too hot.
The pistons
were all swelled up and getting stuck in the cylinders and couldn't move up and down as freely as they would if the engine were running cooler.
All right.
It all makes perfect sense if you're a nut job.
How good a friend is this guy?
A very good friend.
Well, you have to break it to him gently.
So you can't dump him?
No.
No. I think you have to tell him that you talked to us and your regular mechanic in West Virginia.
And we all think he's wacko.
Yeah. Because... yeah, I mean...
Gently like that.
Yeah, we all think he's nuts.
Bill, they think you're wacko.
But no, modern cars have a certain temperature thermostat, and they're usually at something like 190 degrees.
And it stays there forever.
And it stays there forever. If it ever malfunctions, you replace it with the same kind of thermostat, the same rating. And the reason that the temperature is that high, the temperature rating on a thermostat is that high, is you want the engine to reach operating temperature as quickly as possible. Okay? So the thermostat doesn't open up and permit circulation of the coolant into the radiator until the temperature of the engine coolant is 190 degrees. That's so the engine warms up faster and runs more efficiently and as such runs more cleanly. Once that thermostat is open and that water is coming out at 190 degrees, if it's a 120 degree day, it's going to be well above that. So having a 180 degree thermostat in there is really not going to change anything at all except to reduce your mileage and reduce your efficiency while the engine is warming up. So it's really a waste.
Okay, so definitely not a new thermostat.
What car does your friend drive?
Right now, I don't think he's driving one at all.
Good.
He was driving in some sort of giant ancient American sedan that existed with the Stegosaurus.
Well, there you go. And it, the truth be known, older cars did often require a change of thermostat with the season. But that went out.
That, 30 years.
That went out when my brother was in high school. That was a long time ago. See you, Sarah.
Thank you.
Thanks for your call. All right, look, before we take a break, do you happen to, you ready for this question?
Yeah.
Do you happen to remember last week's puzzler?
Last week's puzzler? Was it the Monty Hall puzzler?
No, that was 14 years ago. But you're on the right track. At least you remembered a puzzler. No, it was about our old mechanic, Krusty.
Krusty.
And some astute diagnosis that he did without even touching the car in question.
Ah, an intuitive diagnosis.
Well, not really, but I'll have the answer.
And we'll have more of your car questions.
In just a minute, so please stay tuned.
I want to live in a billboard. I want to be with that laughing girl. I want to. Say goodbye to this cold, cruel world. I'll be the light of every party with a winning smile and a rock hard body, and I'll never be alone. I want to live in a billboard. I want to be in that happy place. I want to live in a billboard. I'll be a cowboy with a leather face. I'll never have.
Support for Car Talk and NPR comes from our mechanics dating service, matching unsuspecting women with monosyllabic knuckle scraping, hygienically challenged but handy around the house guys from NPR, NPR member stations, and
LendingTree.com, where you can choose from up to 4 customized loan offers. 1-800-555-TREE. When banks compete, you win. LendingTree.com. And
Allstate now offering accident forgiveness and a reminder that your odds of having an accident go up when you are tired.
So if listening to my brother is putting you to sleep, pull over.
Hey, more information at allstate.com. Are you in good hands? And
Travelocity offering tools and information to plan travel worldwide. Support available 24/7 so you'll never roam alone. Travelocity.com.
And even though Tibetan monks hope we're gone by their next lives whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR, National Public Radio. Hi, we're back.
Wait, before you do anything else.
Yeah?
I've noticed here that you're sitting here, and every once in a while, you reach down to that lemon.
Uh-huh, yes.
You get half a lemon, and yes. You suck on it. You make some horrible sound, and you put it down. What's with the sucking of the lemon?
Well, you know, you may have noticed that from time to time I develop a frog in my throat. So I decided to do a little experiment. I went and got some frogs out of the pond.
And put them in your stomach?
No. And I put them in a little vessel, and I put a lemon in there, too. And the frogs ran away from the lemon. So I figured the best way to get rid of a frog is to have a lemon nearby. So I'm sucking on a lemon and getting rid of the frog in my throat.
Have you flipped out? Okay.
No, it
I think, no, I don't care.
I think I think opera singers use lemon to I don't know what they do. It sounds like a good idea. Anyway, we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and of course the answer to last week's puzzler.
I remember the puzzler, actually.
Well, now you do.
And
so.
I know the answer.
I know you do. I think you might have been crusty. One winter, I remember, an anxious customer called near the end of the day, and she needed help. She had lowered her electric window to pay a bridge toll, and now it wouldn't go back up. She was getting nervous because it was one of those lousy days we get here in New England where it was starting to get misty and rainy, and that stuff was going to freeze overnight with the window open. It was getting ugly.
Yeah.
Anyway, Krusty says, come on in. He'll do what he can. He figures it'll either be something simple like a fuse or something more complex and expensive, he hopes, and she'll have to leave the car overnight. At 5:10, she arrives and Krusty tells her to pull into one of the service bays. What do you want me to do, she asks. Should I open the hood so you can check the fuses? I think they're under the hood. No, Krusty says, that's all right. Should I turn the lights off? No, Krusty says, that's all right. Should I turn the engine off? No, no, that's all right. Just leave everything just the way it is. Krusty is standing maybe 10 feet from the car. He doesn't really come any closer. And very calmly, he asks her to try to raise the window in question. Of course, what? It doesn't work.
She told him it was broken.
Okay, Krusty says, shut everything off. You'll have to leave it overnight. I'm pretty sure you'll need a new electric motor or maybe a window regulator or both. Then he turns around and pumps his fist and shouts, boat payment! How could you know that I have to leave it overnight, she asks. You never even touched my car. And that's the question. How did Krusty know it wasn't something simple like a fuse? He never laid a finger on her car. He just asked her to put the window up, and when it didn't work, he said, aha!
Yeah, and I knew the question, and I knew the answer.
Just couldn't remember them.
No, I knew I remembered them both.
Oh, bull! What Krusty saw is that...
the lights dimmed.
Exactly. Her lights dimmed, and they dimmed a lot. Now, she had a blown fuse.
When he said to her...
raise the window.
Raise the window.
The lights dimmed, they dimmed a lot, and they wouldn't have done that if the fuse were blown or the switch in the door were bad. If there was an open circuit, the lights wouldn't have done anything.
No.
But he saw them dim, and he knew from his vast years of experience...
yes, indeed.
...that, you know, a motor that can't turn draws a lot more current than one that can turn. In fact, if he had asked her, he could have said, try the window that works, and he could have compared, because an electric motor that can't turn is not producing something called counter EMF, and as such, draws a lot more current, and if it draws enough, it'll blow the fuse eventually, but she did not have a blown fuse. When he saw those headlights dim, he knew she was done for, and he knew a boat payment was forthcoming. Anyway, so who's our winner?
The winner this week is Frederick Eames from Del Mar, New York. And for having his answer selected at random from among all the correct answers that we got, Frederick will get a $26 gift certificate to the Shameless Commerce Division at cartalk.com, with which he can get our 4-CD set called Four Perfectly Good Hours. As the name implies, these are four of our favorite shows in their complete one-hour eminently lousy original form. And that 4-CD collection is yours, Fred, for being this week's Puzzler winner. Congratulations.
Oh, you lucky devil. Anyway, we'll have a brand new puzzle.
We got a nerve giving him that.
I know it.
Who says he wants that?
Well, that's what he's getting. And he didn't know in advance what he was vying for you. So anyway, we'll have a brand new puzzler coming up in the third half of the show. So don't go anywhere. In the meantime, if you have a question about your car, you can call us at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello, this is Paul from Westford, Vermont.
Hey, Paul,
how
what's
you
up?
Doing? Westford. I'm good enough. Wait, where's that? Westford.
Westford, Vermont, outside of Burlington.
All right.
Okay.
And we're ready.
We're ready. I got a 53 MG, the car you guys are always making fun of.
Oh, ho, ho.
I drive this every day in the summer, obviously.
It's a TD, right?
It's a TD. It's Mark II. It's making a new noise, one I haven't had before. Ever since a couple of months ago, my 59th birthday, it's been whistling. And the whistling's coming from the bell housing.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Well, not exactly. It varies with the speed of the motor. It starts out, at first I thought it was just a ringing in my ears.
Yeah.
Can you make the whistling change by stepping on the clutch?
No.
Oh.
It doesn't go away if I step on a clutch. That was
and how
first
long
thought.
Does the whistling last?
As long as the car is running, and it changes with the speed of the car.
You have to be moving to get it?
Nope.
Oh, really? It sounds...
Does it happen as soon as you start it up?
As soon as you start the car, it starts whistling. If you increase the speed, it changes pitch.
And you say it's coming from the bell housing. How do you really know that? Because the bell housing isn't easy, if I remember correctly.
No, the bell housing is right there at your feet.
Right, but you have to take all that sheet metal off. Oh, you have
to get
underneath or take the sheet metal off inside.
Yeah, no, I crawled underneath and
you did.
I stole a stethoscope from a friend of mine's father who's a doctor.
Yeah, and it's coming right out of there.
Of course, five of his patients have died in the meantime. So you definitely hear it coming out of the bell housing, which is not good.
That's not good because it's going to be the clutch.
It sounds, I believe this thing, you remember, Tommy. It does not have a real ball bearing, release bearing. I think it's got some stupid carbon block kind of thing.
It does.
It's just like a carbon, I don't know what you'd call it, but.
Yeah,
basically it's a carbon plate.
Yeah, basically it's a piece of prehistoric rock.
With the rest of the car.
Yeah, with the rest of the car, right. And I hate to say it, but you're going to have to take out the transmission and probably replace the clutch and the release bearing. Now, here's the good news.
There's good news?
Yeah.
There is good news.
There is good news.
And the good news is you don't have to do it.
Well, you don't have to do it, but if you do have to do it, when my brother did this, his daughter, Anna, helped him.
Who at the time was 7 years old.
Right. She helped him take the transmission out and put it back in.
She threw the extra parts away.
No, she
was the only helper I had. I did it in my driveway.
And the good news is she now lives in Burlington, Vermont.
She's right up the street from you, and she can probably still do it.
So she'll do it.
She'll do it. All you have to do, look at Paul, go buy yourself a case of beer, kick back, give Anna the wrenches. She'll be there in the morning.
I'll just put the car out with a sign, please help.
Anna, help. But we're pretty sure that's what you need.
All right.
Sadly. But it'll be an adventure.
It's a winter project.
Yeah, and don't do it.
Okay.
I mean, a whistle. How much is that going to hurt you? Forget about it.
It's starting to drive him crazy, isn't it?
It's too late.
Yeah, no,
too late.
Turn up the radio.
What radio?
What radio?
See you, Paul.
See you later.
888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227. They'd still be in business if they had put radios in these cars. 825. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, TJ, calling from Arkansas.
TJ.
How are you?
Oh, it's TJ. I had written down PJ. Like
no, TJ, as in Tijuana. I have a 1997 Ford Explorer.
Let's go back. Where are you from again?
Arkansas.
Oh, Arkansas. Just the whole state, not a particular place?
the capital, Little Rock.
Little Rock, okay.
Little Rock.
And what does TJ stand for, if you wanted to share that with us?
Teresa Jean.
TJ's good.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, so go ahead.
I have a 1997 Ford Explorer with about 130,000 miles on it. Yep. About a month ago, my husband and I, we were driving through Vegas. It was about 116 degrees, and all of a sudden, all the automatic door locks start going crazy. up, down, lock, 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 and nothing we could do would make it stop. We pulled over, and even when you're out of the car, they're still going nuts. So we pulled the fuse.
Good thinking.
Yeah. And then by the time we got back to Los Angeles, we put the fuse back in. It was fine. Didn't happen again until last week when it was 108 degrees.
Uh-huh.
And they started going berserk again. So the fuse is out.
So are you interested in fixing this or finding some kind of quick disconnect fuse?
No, I pulled the fuse. It was pretty simple according to the diagram. But the only problem with pulling that fuse on the automatic locks is we also lose our power windows.
Oh, right. Yeah. Which is not an issue when it's 116 degrees because you ain't opening those babies. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Geez, I don't know. I mean, I don't know that there isn't. I'm trying to think if there's some kind of a relay that operates these. I mean, I know there are solenoids that operate, but they were all doing it?
Yeah, and not all at the same time. It was just kind of not a predictable sequence, but all of them.
So give us the typical scenario. You're driving along, one door lock locks.
It automatically locks when you put the car in gear.
All right, so this unlocked.
I guess it unlocked first.
Right.
And then as we're going down the road, then all of them start doing that.
On and off.
Yeah. And if you hold the button down on the lock, it stops it. But you can still hear the motor wanting
to. Oh, yeah, you're trying to burn the solenoid out, that's all.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, it could be the switch that's engaging these things when you put it in drive, but I don't know that it would unlock the thing.
No.
So you're sure that they were unlocking or no? How about is it possible that they were just relocking?
Maybe relocking.
Okay. No, it could be something as simple as that switch.
Okay.
That's doing that. So the circuit may be opening
uh-huh.
and then closing again, opening and then closing again. It's just a guess, but I'd be willing to bet that if you contacted a Ford dealer, there has got to be a technical service bulletin on this thing.
Okay.
You know. Yeah. I mean, if you just call your dealer.
They're going to say, oh, yeah, we know what that is.
They'll say, we know what that is.
Great.
Bring it in.
So better to leave the fuse out in the meantime so my car doesn't burn
well, no,
to the
I mean,
ground?
I trust that the 116-degree temperatures are pretty much over, wouldn't you say, for the season?
I hope so.
Yeah, yeah. Well, because you now know how to take the fuse out, I would put it back in. You
okay.
wouldn't want to drive around in a car whose windows you couldn't open.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, so I would put the fuse back in, and if it starts misbehaving and driving you crazy, you can take out the fuse for that short period of time, but I think as soon as possible, you should get it someplace and get it fixed.
Well, if you get it fixed as soon as possible, you won't know till next summer if it worked.
That might be true. But I appreciate the suggestion to take it to the dealership instead of getting my husband under there with the wire cutters.
Yeah, yeah. No, yeah, keep him away from it, whatever you do, TJ. See you later.
Thanks.
Bye. Thanks for your call. Bye-bye.
Boy, there are some wacko things that happen, huh?
There are some wacko things that happen, and a lot of them we cause, but most of them happen by themselves. 888-CAR-TALK, that's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi. My name's Jean. I'm from Prescott, Arizona.
Hi, Jean. What's happening?
I have a 2001 Volvo Cross Country that is either infested with snakes or there's something going on with my brake or accelerator pedal.
I like the snakes theory, whatever it is. what's happening?
It's a very loud hissing.
Oh.
And it seems to be worse later in the day than first thing in the morning, although it does happen first thing in the morning when I start up the car. And it's so loud, it's this loud.
You don't have to be moving to hear this noise, right?
No, you don't have to be moving to hear it.
Does it affect the way the car works?
Not at all.
Any idea where it sounds like it's coming from?
Sometimes it will stop when I push on the brake.
Mm-hmm.
Ah.
Sometimes it will stop when I accelerate.
Okay, but it'll stop when you push on the brake, but even if you're not moving, is that true?
Yes.
Aha!
Aha!
Okay, so you don't have to be moving, but you have to deploy the brake, and sometimes that will stop it or change it. Will it change it, even if it doesn't stop it entirely?
It will change it, but accelerating can also do that.
Right.
Yeah.
So it sounds like, if I had to guess, now, correct me if I'm wrong, it sounds like it's coming from right in front of you, right in front of where you sit.
It does. It sounds like it's somewhere underneath the brake pedal or the accelerator pedal.
Yeah, well, snakes hardly ever reside up under there, so I don't think it's a snake.
See, I was gonna say it's definitely a snake.
It started in June after I had my brakes replaced.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
Did you go back to these guys who did the brakes and complain?
I did talk to them.
And what did they say?
Well, they said something about a booster.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it is.
Okay.
That was a good thing to talk about.
And the hissing is coming from the fact that the diaphragm in the booster is leaking. And the vacuum booster is what's
right in front of you.
It's right in front of you. It's attached to the brake pedal. In fact, it's between the brake pedal mechanism and the master cylinder. And it's what boosts the force you're applying to the pedal. And that's what makes power brakes power brakes.
Uh-huh.
So your power brakes have been compromised because it's leaking. So you're not sucking on that diaphragm as much as you'd like to. And as such, you're not getting as much stopping force going to the master cylinder because the diaphragm isn't working efficiently.
Is this an expensive proposition?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, dear.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's a Volvo.
Well, I mean, it's not thousands of dollars, but it's hundreds.
Mm.
Mm. But you got to do it.
Okay.
It's never going to get better, and it's only going to get worse.
Okay.
See you, Gene.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks
Appreciate
for your call.
It.
Bye-bye.
Good luck.
Bye.
All right. Believe it or not, it's time for us to take a short break.
Is this where the stations thank our proud underwriters?
Former underwriters. They're the proud ones. The current underwriters, well, they're kind of sheepish, I think.
Oh, well, we'll be back with my brother's brand new puzzler. You want to say anything about the brand new puzzler?
Yeah. You know, it's a logic kind of puzzler. And,
oh, I love those.
And it harkens back to a puzzler of yesteryear, a long-ago puzzler.
Long ago.
Anyway.
Okay, that's coming up along with more of your car questions as soon as we get back.
So please stay tuned.
Will you love me when my carburetor is busted? Will you love me when I cannot shift my gears? Will you love me when I need a new condenser. And when my clutch begins to slip, will you shed tears? Will you love me when my battery needs recharging? Will you love me when I cannot blow that old horn? And when my connecting rod is bent, and I no more want 5 cents, will you love me, oh mama? Will you love me, oh papa? Will you love me when my kawila no can go?
Support for Car Talk and NPR comes from our new line of fall foliage coolant. Turns from green to red to brown and then leaks onto the ground. From NPR, NPR member stations, and
Lumber Liquidators, hardwood, bamboo, and cork flooring. Catalog at lumberliquidators.com. And
Allstate now offering accident forgiveness. And this reminder not to drive like my brother.
Or like my brother.
More information at allstate.com. Are you in good hands? And
sitforless.com, selling all colors of the Herman Miller Aeron chair online, including the new color, True Black. sitforless.com.
And the Union of Concerned Scientists, a science-based nonprofit working for a healthy environment and a safer world. Hybrid vehicle comparisons are at hybridcenter.org.
And even old Carl Castle wonders if it's time to implement Career Plan B whenever he hears us say it. This is NPR, National Public Radio.
Ha! We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and the new Puzzler.
Yeah.
Well, you may remember years and years ago, we had a Puzzler, which was called a Haircut in Horsetown.
I certainly do remember.
Just to refresh our listeners' memories, it was about a fellow who was passing through a little town called One Horse, Nevada, I believe.
Yes.
And he found himself in urgent need of a haircut.
Yeah.
And he had a dilemma because there were two barbers in the town, and he couldn't decide which one he should go to.
Yeah.
Now, I won't elaborate on the rest of that Puzzler. If you want to find out more about it, you can find it on our website.
That was in one of our Puzzler books.
Oh, I was going to say, or you can find it in one of our fine Puzzler books. Which is only available now in the Library of Congress. So now we're going to fast forward to 2007. And there were so few customers in Horsetown that now there's only one barber left.
Uh-huh. Okay?
And the town council has decreed that every man in town has to be clean-shaven. No facial hair of any kind allowed. And, moreover, Horsetown's one and only barber, ready for this?
Yeah.
Must shave the faces of all those men who do not shave themselves, and only those men. So if you're a man, you had two choices. You shave yourself, or you get shaved by the barber. The question is, who shaves the barber? Now, I'll repeat it so you can get it, because I get the feeling from that stupid look on your face that you didn't get it.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Horsetown's one and only barber must shave the faces of all the men in town who do not shave themselves, and only those men. In other words, the barber can only shave
people who don't shave themselves.
So if the preacher decides that he's going to shave himself, he will shave himself.
Yeah.
And the barber can't shave the preacher.
Yeah.
So the question very simply is, who shaves the barber?
Exactly.
Now, if you think you have the answer, do you think you have the answer?
I think I do.
Well, get ready. Write it on the outer casing of an iRobot Scuba robotic hard surface floor washer. With proprietary four-stage cleaning system, 1,500 RPM scrubbing brush, infrared wall sensors, obstacle avoidance technology, charging station, and accidental petrochemical spill attachment. And send it to Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Matt 02238.
Or you can email us your answer from cartalk.com.
But if you have a question right now about your car or anything else, our number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Devin in Portland, Oregon.
Devin?
D-E-V-O-N?
D-E-V-O-N.
Owen.
Yes.
In Portland, Oregon.
Yes.
Okay, what's going on, Devin?
Okay, I have a 2001 Toyota Prius that I bought in January used, and it's a great car, but recently it started making this really weird sound when I turn, like, and I don't know if it does it at high speeds and low speeds, but I can only hear it at low speeds or when the motor's off, just when the electric motor's on.
Right, when the gasoline engine is off.
Yes.
And so you.
And how about when you stopped?
It's only when I turn.
Right, so if you were stopped and turning the wheel to try to get into a parking space.
Would you hear it then?
Yeah, I hear it a lot
you
then.
You do hear it then.
At low speeds, it sounds like it's really hurting.
It probably is. How many miles are on this six-year-old Prius?
About 42,000.
And did the noise appear all of a sudden?
Oh, well, I noticed it all of a sudden starting about a month ago.
And has it gotten worse?
No, I think it's stayed about the same. I just haven't really dealt with it, so.
Did the noise appear after you had had a long period of rain?
Oh, probably. It's Portland.
Well, I just did, you know.
Every week is a long period of rain.
Well, I'm in a long period of rain, perhaps followed by a dry period.
Yeah, could be.
I mean, it's very likely that it's the rack and pinion assembly. Now, the rack and pinion is what does all the steering on this thing, and it does it electrically. In the old days, and with non-hybrid cars, all steering was done, power steering, that is, by using a power steering pump that was driven by the engine and created hydraulic pressure to assist in the steering. But on hybrids, it doesn't make sense to do that because
you don't always have an engine running.
There you go. Oh. So they do it with an electric motor.
Okay.
You know, and it's possible that you need a new rack and pinion, you know.
You need an electric motor.
Oh.
Yeah. And you know, you might, with the labor and everything, you might spend somewhere between, I don't know, $1,500 and $2,000. It's going to be a lot of money.
Oh, no.
But there is another possibility, and you've got to take care of this, by the way, because if there is something that's binding up,
it's going to break.
You could lose your steering altogether, or worse than that, it could lock up on you, perhaps, so that you'd get in one position and you'd have to, like, continue to drive in circles.
Yeah. Oh. And don't keep driving. Go directly to the dealer.
Okay.
And tell him about it.
Okay.
Now, if you're lucky, maybe water got into a tie rod end and is making that. It sounds like a creaking noise.
Mm-hmm.
It could be just the tie rod end has got rust built up in it and is making that creaky noise. So you could get out for $125.
Oh, okay.
All right.
All right. I'll get it taken care of. Thanks, boys.
And by the way, I mean,
yes.
I know people who have problems like this often wait to get through on the show to get free advice. But your instincts sometimes tell you that something might be dangerous. And when those instincts tell you that, even if you can't get through to us, you have to act on it. Because stuff with steering or vibrations or things that feel peculiar and very different from how they used to feel, like a wobble or drifting or pulling brakes, all those things demand immediate attention. And then you can go and get it fixed, and you'll know what it was. Then you can call us and have us give you an answer that's very different from what the repair shop did, and then you can make fun of us. Anyway, good luck, and let us know how you make out, Devin.
Okay, I certainly will. Take care.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye.
888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Matt Barnes, and I'm calling from Peaks Island, Maine.
Matt, no last name, please. Peaks Island?
Peaks Island.
P-E-A-K-S?
Yeah, right off from Portland, Maine, so we've gone from coast to coast.
Yeah, we have. So what's going on, Matt?
Well, I've got a 99 Nissan Altima, and it's a great little car, except all of a sudden, the air control, the fan control, only has two settings, number one and number four. So you can either be really, really hot or really, really cold, but the number two and number three settings have stopped functioning.
Oh, this is the blower.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm a cheapskate, and I'm hoping that I can fix it myself.
No, you can't.
Well, you might.
No, I can't.
No, sure. I don't know where the thing that's broken is located, but what you need is a blower resistor. The way the thing works, the way you get the various speeds, is you have one blower motor, and that motor gets current sent through it, which goes first through a resistor. And depending upon how much resistance there is, that determines how fast the motor turns. You with me?
Yeah. There's not just like an assembly that I can swap out.
Yeah, there
well,
is. There is.
There
and
is.
It, and it's the resistor assembly. And
that's what you need. And if you can find it, You have to find it first at the dealership, and then you got to find it in the car.
Well, it'll be a lot easier if you. I'm 99.4. All right, I'm almost. I'm kind of sure that you need one of these. So if you went to the dealer and bought one, with the new one in hand,
you can find the old.
You'll find the old one, especially if you had help from the guy at the parts counter.
I'm not afraid of getting in trouble by partially disassembling a car.
Excellent.
Well, what you can do is if you think you found it, you can unplug it. And if you do that, I believe that the blower motor will stop turning.
Okay.
And then you'll say, ah, that's where it is. And there are usually a couple of screws that hold it in.
Okay.
And you're going to need the other speeds. I mean, the truth is that it doesn't diminish the temperature of the air at all, but it's kind of lazy the way it comes in.
Yeah.
Or you could just live with 1 and 4. If you move back and forth from 1 to 4,
it'll average out to 2 or 3. Right, a little bit on 1, a little bit on 4.
What are you being so damn fussy about?
Yeah, my brother had a car that didn't have 1, 2, 3, or 4. In fact, didn't even have a heater.
Well, it's a long ride on the highway to work.
All right, well, tough it up, Matt. See you later, man.
Thanks.
Get yourself a resistor. You'll be all set.
I'll get right on that.
Bye-bye.
It is interesting that so many of us are looking for perfection. But my car had no heater whatsoever. I managed.
No, I didn't.
I froze my butt. I didn't manage.
The best thing we ever did was to wrest that car from your possession and send it to Bugsy World.
Well, I was
the car you have now.
Oh.
Isn't that?
Oh.
Yeah, it's amazing what a decade or two will do.
I went up 2 decades.
Yeah, and Tommy now has heat, windshield wipers, defroster, roll-up windows. What else do you have?
Oh, a radio.
A radio, brakes.
Oh.
Yeah.
I can't tell you how thrilling it is.
Yeah, I know. 888 Car Talk. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hey there, guys. How's it going?
Hi.
Great. Who's this?
This is Dave. I live in Greenfield, Mass.
Hey, Dave.
No kidding.
Wow.
How's it going?
Not
Isn't
bad.
Greenfield the place that we're all supposed to go to if there's some kind of an evacuation?
I hope not.
Yeah, we're all supposed to be at the Howard Johnson's on Route 91 there. No?
There's no Howard Johnson's here anymore, so you're out of luck.
I knew there was a trick. All right. Anyway.
Okay, that takes care of Greenfield.
So what's happening?
What's up, Dave?
So, well, Tommy, you're going to hate me for this because I have a sleek, black 2007 Honda Fit.
Oh. You were close, though. You had him on the edge of his seat.
Yeah, I figured. I'm embarrassed to say that I have almost 10,000 miles on it already. I bought it last March new.
Yeah.
It is the first automatic car that I've owned in my adult life. And that's kind of the foundation of my question, because I don't remember how it used to work with an automatic. So here's the deal.
Yeah.
When I bought the car, I could be sitting at a stoplight in drive. And not have to have my foot on the brake, and the car would just sit there. And I remember that being normal, but about 3 months into ownership, it started doing this thing where I'm sitting at a stoplight and drive, and I have to have my foot on the brake to stop it from creeping forward. And it's getting more and more eager. I feel like I have to have my hand pulling on the reins to keep this horse from moving forward. And I called the Honda place, and they said, oh, no, that's normal. Hondas all do that.
They're right.
Yeah.
Almost all cars with automatic transmissions, if you're on a flat road,
will creep
with your foot off the brake.
Okay.
And I think if I had to guess what's happened since you bought it, I would say that maybe the wheel bearings loosened up and everything kind of wore in.
Uh-huh.
The brakes, you know, are seated so that they're not grabbing as much. And everything is kind of worked in. You know, the car is kind of getting broken in.
Okay.
On its way to getting broken down.
And it's going to do this forever.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean that there's anything wrong.
Right.
I mean, do you have a tachometer in this thing?
Yeah. I think I do.
Okay. Well, you should put the thing in park and look at the tach. It should definitely be below 1,000.
When it's just in idle.
When it's in park.
In park and sitting there.
Yeah. I mean,
right.
it's entirely possible that something's gone wrong, although usually something, you know, of that nature where the RPM crept up several hundred would probably set the check engine light.
Right.
But it's possible that, it didn't. And, you know, I don't know what the RPM spec is for this. You may be able to open the hood and look at the decal. There's a decal under the hood, and it may tell you what the RPM is in park or neutral. I'm guessing it's probably around 600 or 700.
Right.
So if it's significantly above that, that could be causing creep, which you wouldn't have had before. But I think it's just the fact that the car is worn in a little bit, and it's now creeping. You didn't previously have your mother-in-law in the back seat, you know?
No, I didn't. I didn't. Although I did have a bunch of books in the back that aren't in there anymore because I sold most of them. So
Yeah, well,
that'll do it.
That's the main problem I have with this car is that, you know, I used to have a pickup truck. I had a series of pickup trucks, and then I felt guilty for, you know, being a global climate change activist and adding to the carbon dioxide in the atmosphere. So I got a more efficient car, but I can't carry as much weight in it as I could carry in my truck. So.
But it isn't bad, is it? I mean, you feel like...
Oh, no, I like it. It's a nice little car.
It's a nice little car.
I like the stereo. The stereo is great.
So do you feel that this car is big enough for you?
It is definitely big enough. I mean, I do a lot of commuting by myself and just taking my kid to school and stuff. I just can't carry more than 800 total pounds, and that's not very much for a guy who's used to having a pickup truck. So,
800 total pounds, including the passengers,
including me,
including you, yeah, all the passengers.
Luckily, I'm a lightweight, so
yeah.
One mother-in-law will do that.
Well, I don't have a mother-in-law. So.
What are you getting for mileage, by the way?
I'm getting about 34, 35, not as good as the 38 they advertised, but, you know, it's still 50% better than what I was getting with my pickup truck. So.
Yeah, I got to tell you, when I drove this car, I fell in love with it.
Yeah.
Because it's a nice size, and it handled well. It was quiet on the highway.
Absolutely.
It seemed like...
It's sporty.
Yeah, and it seemed like the kind of car that most people could be happy with.
I think that's true.
Yeah.
You know? I think there's definitely a growing... camaraderie among fit owners. I was driving on, getting on the highway in Brattleboro, Vermont, the other day, and this woman was pulling off in a blue Fit, and she was like, "Hey, look," waving at me. So it was nice.
No,
it's kind of fun, kind of like the VW was, you know.
Yeah,
exactly. Well, it'll be a whole new wave of fit
owners. That's right.
Good luck to you, Dave.
Hey, thanks, guys.
See you. Okay. Thanks for your call.
Take care.
Bye bye. Well, it's happened again. You've squandered another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk.
Yeah.
Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are Louis Cronin the Barbarian and David Gibraltar Green. Our senior web blackie is Doug. I'm getting a remote started just to be safe, Mayor. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. And our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor just back from the LAX. Turkey necks, whole wheat checks, ice cold Bex, triple sex, hot Tex-Mex, and lime Zarex gullet flex is John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Margin of Error. Our customer care representative is Haywood Jabuzoff. Our personal makeup artist is Bud Tugley. Our Ralph Cramden impersonator from the Dubai office is Mohammed Ahmed Ahmed. Our martial arts trader is Anita DeGroing. Our alignment expert is Lou Sagusi. Our registered mail manager is Kent B. Good. Our Russian chauffeur is Peekoff and Dropoff. Our optometric firm is CFI Care. Guest accommodations are provided by the Horseshoe Road Inn. The head of our working mother support group is Erasmus B. Dragon. And our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the Fresh Tweed Brigade in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And remember this, don't drive like my brother.
Don't drive like my brother.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. CDs of the show, which is number 738, along with Car Talk clothing, audio collections, and other Car Talk gifts, are available at 888-CAR-JUNK or by going to the Shameless Commerce Division of our website, cartalk.com.
This week at cartalk.com, our weekly puzzler email.
I mean, you can get the puzzle by email every week?
Yep, delivered every Monday.
And what do we call that, the weekly puzzler email?
No, we don't. We call it the Car Talk Psychic Friends Puzzler Network.
Why do we call it that?
Mostly because NPR didn't catch us in time and make us change it.
Okie doke.
Sign up for the Car Talk Psychic Friends Puzzler Network anytime this week at cartalk.com.
Support for Car Talk on NPR comes from NPR member stations and...
LendingTree.com, where you can choose from up to 4 customized loan offers. 1-800-555-TREE. When banks compete, you win. LendingTree.com. And
Pabst Brewing, proud supporter of local artists nationwide and of the NPR Live in Concert Series. Online at PabstBlueRibbon.com. And
Allstate, now offering accident forgiveness and a reminder that switching radio stations increases your chances of an accident.
See, we always told you not to flip.
More information at Allstate.com. Are you in good hands? Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though Red Cross volunteers distribute earplugs whenever we say it, this is NPR, National Public Radio.